This is KUOW. If you recognize this song, you're probably a fan of the 90s TV show Twin Peaks. The weird, mysterious cult classic was set here in Washington around North Bend, and next year the show will return to the Northwest. After 25 years off the air, Showtime is making 9 new episodes. The co-creator of Twin Peaks, Mark Frost, has a new book about the series called The Secret Lives of Twin Peaks. Frost told Jeannie Yandel why they first decided to set the show in the Northwest.
Number one, the Northwest hadn't really been depicted a lot in popular culture at that point. David Lynch had spent a good portion of his childhood living in that part of the world. We picked it because we thought it was appropriate tonally and thematically to the material that we were working with. And when we found the locations that we'd been looking for, we looked all over the Seattle area. And then that, I think it was the last day we were on our scout, we drove into the Snoqualmie Valley, and there it was. There was the old mill. There was the diner. There was the movie theater. It was almost as if it had been sitting there waiting for us. It was a lot of the locations that we'd put on paper were almost exactly as we described. It was really spooky, and we knew we'd found our town when we drove in. They've now had a kind of tourist boom in that area because that, to the world, is now Twin Peaks more than it is Snoqualmie or North Bend in a lot of cases.
Well, you got to come back to Washington State to film part of the new series. What was it like being back here after 25 years?
It was haunting, honestly. Most of us hadn't been back to the Snoqualmie Valley since we shot the pilot in 1989, 1990. And many of us hadn't seen each other, the cast and crew, and we had some of the original crew come back as well. So it was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience of going back to this place that we had really known quite intensely when making the pilot, and obviously the place had lived on in people's imagination as this fictional town that they had a lot invested in. So to go back to those original locations meant many or most of them were still intact. And to be back with this same group of people, it was like a time machine and a glorious kind of college reunion at the same time. Because when you go through something as intense as that original run of the show was with people, you bond with them in a way that's really hard to duplicate.
At the end of the second season in 1991, one of the characters on Twin Peaks says she'll be back in 25 years. I mean, was this your plan to come back 25 years later?
Accidentally. I mean, we were planning to come back in 4 months. You know, we thought we were going to have a third season. So we did a lot of work and a lot of storylines were laid out in relation to that. So some of the spade work had been done when we decided to bring it back, but also the discovery that that line was there made it a whole lot easier to justify the long wait or the long gap. I don't know that there's any precedent for a kind of continuing narrative like this to take a quarter century break, but, you know, why not try it? So that's what we did.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the universe that was created with Twin Peaks in the first place, that kind of mysterious, haunting feeling that was in the show that you've described kind of making the show, sort of the spookiness of finding a place that fit with what you imagined and the fact that it hasn't really changed much in a quarter of a century when you went back. Will that feeling, that sort of, I guess, insular, mysterious feeling continue with this new series?
Yeah, I mean, we're still talking about the same place, so there was a timelessness to the place. I mean, everybody commented on that at the time, that it seemed like it could have taken place in almost any decade. And it's always been my experience that when you go to smaller towns around the country, you're not going to see the bright, flashy things that come straight off the showroom floor in big cities that you're going to see when you go into those homes or those communities. You're going to find that the town has largely stayed the same over time. And I happen to think that the passage of time is one of the great themes in all of literature or drama, because we're all wrapped up in it. We're caught in it. We're in this slipstream of time that's carried us in our lives to this point, and we know where it's headed. So to watch characters go through that is a universal experience that I think really anybody can relate to.
What was it like creating that timeline for characters? seeing what had happened to them in 25 years. I mean, as you said, when we first started talking, initially you were all thinking about 4 months and then coming back. That's a huge break.
Yeah, and that was the challenge. I can't say too much about it because I don't want to give anything away about where we're headed. But the journey I took, having been sort of unstuck in time with the quarter century, I went in the different in the opposite direction. I went back in time to find the origins of all these people and the kind of mysterious influences that formed the feelings that people got from the series in the first place. And in doing so, you know, you're able to kind of create a context larger than the one that the show itself was able to provide you, because the format of the written word is different and more expansive than what you can see on television. You can stop and think and ruminate and ponder what these things might have been. So the great joy for me in going back in time was finding out where all these things began and watching as the people that you knew in the show slowly start to come on stage with the passage of time, and you meet them as younger people and you take them through the course of their lives. That was a real joy creatively for me. And that was the appeal to me of doing the book.
I have to ask, Mark, you're talking about traveling back in time to tell origin stories for some of these characters and why they are who they are, and jumping 25 years forward to see where they are now. What is your favorite thing about the universe that you created with Twin Peaks?
Well, there's a thematic through line that kind of carries you through the book, and it's this idea of the role of mystery in human life that, for centuries, people just used religion to deal with that part of existence. They posited that there were supernatural beings or a being that was responsible for creation, and we're now living in a universe that's in many ways moved beyond that concept, and we're forced to confront, what are we doing here? You know, are we just people revolving around a sun on this rock in space, and it's a remorseless and different universe, or is there meaning to it? Are we here for a reason? Mysteries, or in the Joseph Campbell sense of the word, mythology, has been what's always provided us with the sense that this all counts for something. And it invests life in its smallest and largest ways with things that provide meaning to us and richness and nurturing experiences, so that life is not just simply an endless string of consumer purchases, you know, that there's a richness to our inner life that I think we're all kind of grasping toward and hoping for. And that is one of the things I wanted to try to dive into with the book. What are the mysteries that sustain us and give us a sense of meaning that we can cling to, as opposed to secrets, which tend to be things that people use to withhold power and to wield it over others? And that dynamic tension between those two philosophies, I think, lies at the heart of what that region and this fictional town is all about, but also kind of the story of what our country is all about.
That feels like a surprisingly timely thing to say, given that we're staring at this presidential election right now. It's both timeless and very timely.
Well, these are questions that we best ask ourselves right now, because we're on a precipice of something here. You know, is life just about acquisition and power and dominance and a zero-sum game where there can only be winners and losers? Or is this something that we're supposed to share? Is this something that we're supposed to all participate in and derive benefit from? It's two different ways of living. It's two different cultural approaches to a civilized world. And I really like to think and hope that we lean toward the latter. And I guess in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a pretty big referendum on that subject.
I'm curious to know what you're hoping new viewers will find in that tension you just described. What do you hope that they see in this, I guess, new chapter of this mythology you're talking about?
Well, it gets to the importance of narrative in people's lives, that there's a central part that narrative plays in the way we construct our own life story, the life story of our families and communities. And it's largely the way in which we both mark time and derive meaning by going through this lifespan that's, you know, the steps of which are pretty prescribed. It's the seven ages of humankind, as Shakespeare nailed it four centuries ago. So having had this long passage of time in the middle, that's automatically what the show is about. It's, to me, the greatest works of art are things that deal with the fact that we all age and die. And that gives urgency to living. And hopefully it gives you an impetus to live in the moment. I think that's what the best art reminds us of what we should do. It's something that I hope people will get from the show. That's more sort of in the deep background. I never try to direct people toward what they should get out of it. It's really up to them. But it's a joy to see a whole new generation come on board.
Mark Frost, co-creator of the iconic 90s television show Twin Peaks. His new book is The Secret Lives of Twin Peaks. And Mark is in Seattle this weekend. He's doing an event at the Elliott Bay Bookstore Saturday evening, 7 o'clock.